His master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter? Should you not then have put my money in the bank so that I would have gotten it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. For from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. Three years ago, in his Angelus address, immediately after the last time this gospel was proclaimed on a Sunday, Pope Benedict gave a beautiful summary of its explanation. He first talked about the talent that's in this. When we hear it, we think about our skills. That's not what a talent is. A talent was an ancient Roman coin of great value. In fact, the talent was worth 6,000 days' worth of work. Think about that for a second. 6,000 days of work. The equivalent for someone making about $25,000 to $30,000 of $500,000. Someone who would receive 5 talents was given about $2.5 million to invest. It was an enormous sum. When we hear that one talent, let's not think of just a little bit. It was huge. But Pope Benedict said that this was given by a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his own property. And then he interprets what each of the images means. The man in the parable, he says, represents Christ himself. The servants are the disciples. In the talents are the gifts that the Lord entrusts to his disciples. These gifts, he says, in addition to their natural qualities, represent the riches that the Lord Jesus has bequeathed to us as a legacy so that we may produce fruit with them. What are those big talents? He says, his word deposited in the Holy Gospel, baptism, which renews us in the Holy Spirit, prayer, the Our Father that we raise to God as his children, his forgiveness, which he commanded be offered to all, the sacrament of his body sacrificed and his blood poured out. In a word, summarizing all of this into one, Pope Benedict says, the greatest talent that God has given us is the kingdom of God, which is God himself, present and alive in our midst. And he finishes by saying, this is the treasure that Jesus entrusted to his friends at the end of his brief life on earth. As he was ascending, he was the person who entrusted to us that great inheritance, each according to our ability. Today's parable, the Pope says, stresses the inner disposition necessary to accept and develop this gift. And there are two attitudes we can have in response to it. The wrong attitude is fear, Pope Benedict says. The servant who is afraid of his master and fears his return hides the coin in the earth and it doesn't produce anything. This happens, for example, to those who, after receiving baptism, communion, and confirmation, subsequently bury these gifts, thus betraying the Lord's expectations. On the other hand, the parable places a greater emphasis on the good fruit brought by the disciples who, rather than being afraid, are happy with the gift they've received, who don't keep it hidden with fear and jealousy, but make it profitable by sharing it and partaking in it. Yes, what Christ has given to us is multiplied in its giving. It's a treasure made to be spent, invested, and shared with all. That's what this parable is all about. Often, as Pope Benedict said, we can look at this parable of the talents just in terms of what we are to do with our natural gifts, our singing, our artistic or athletic ability, our intelligence, our work skills, our money and material resources, our health, our family, our life. But as Pope Benedict indicated, there are far more important talents about whether you can win a television competition. The greatest talents that we've received, the greatest gifts that we're called to receive and invest, are the ability to talk to God in prayer and receive from Him guidance in our life. The sacraments, whereby we encounter God, enter into His life, and He enters into ours. The Bible, where His very word is given to us as a roadmap to happiness, to holiness, to heaven. Even the church, where Christ continues to teach us and nourish us all along that journey, and surround us with a community of people who likewise lavishly receive and share those gifts. These are our biggest talents of all. Today I'd like to focus very briefly, because of the video being shown before and after Mass, which is like a homily in itself, I'd like to focus specifically on the talent of the Mass. The Mass is the very gift where Jesus illumines us with His word and feeds us with Himself. There's no real greater talent in the whole world, no greater gift. And in this time in which we're preparing for the new translation, it's really important for us not to focus just on the new words we're going to be using, but have a thorough renewal of the role of the Mass in Christian life, and in your life, and in my life. In the Gospel, we see that there were those who received five talents, those who received two, those who received one. Not everybody received the same thing. And when we look across the history of the world, and the globe even today, we see that there's an enormous disparity in what God's given people. He's given everybody enough, but He's given some people more. Why would God ever give anybody more? Not because He loves some more than He loves others, but if He gave everybody exactly the same thing, then would never need to share, ever, because the other would need. Some people are smarter than others so that those who are smarter can tutor those who need a little bit of help. Some are stronger than others so they're able to open up the ketchup bottle at home. There are disparities precisely so that we can have an opportunity to love. And there are also disparities with regard to the greatest gift ever, which is the Mass. The ancient Egyptians, with all their skills to build those famous pyramids, had nothing like the Mass. The Buddhists, with their teaching on the path to wisdom through suffering, have nothing even close. The Muslims, with the seeds of the gospel they have, in their great willingness to make a commitment to God, to make pilgrimages to the Hajj, to pray five times a day. They have nothing close to this. The Jews, even with the great gift of the covenant, have nothing like this new and eternal covenant. The Protestants, especially evangelicals, for all their fire and love for the Word of God, don't have the Word made flesh. And even so many Catholics across the globe, if you go down to South America, you may have two Masses a year in some of those mountain villages because there aren't enough priests to go around. And so you have Mass twice a year. Even in places in the United States of America, if you go to Cheyenne, Wyoming, if you go up to Montana, you've got priests whose parish is 500 miles across. And they're able to come to your place once or twice a month max in order to be able to celebrate the Mass. Huge disparity with regard to the talent of the greatest gift of all. And then us. We don't have just five talents with regard to the Mass. It's like we have 555 talents. The Mass is not only offered here every Sunday, at lots of times for your own personal convenience. The Mass is here offered every day. The greatest gift ever offered here every day. All the dead Egyptians, if they had this opportunity, all the Jews throughout history, the Buddhists, the Hindi, the Muslims, once they meet God face to face and see everything open for them about what was truly God's greatest gift, they'll be looking at us with incredible holy jealousy because of the unbelievable opportunity we have. But the question for us, based on today's parable, is what are we doing with this gift? Jesus says at the end, to whom more is given, more is to be expected. And to the one who has, even more will be given. And to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This might seem unfair at first, but it's a simple law of life that's not unfair at all. If you stop working out, your muscles are going to get flabby. If you've got great skill at the piano but never practice, eventually you're going to lose some of your ability. If God's blessed you with a great mind but you never study, eventually you're going to lose that great aptitude. We use it or we lose it. We're either going uphill or we're sliding downhill. The more we invest this gift to the Mass, by far, the greater a union with God we're going to have. But if we bury the Mass, if we don't try to bear dividends from the Mass, then our faith will wither and die. Because if we can say that this is really Jesus Christ here at Mass, and we approach it in a lukewarm way, I only come to Mass because I have to. I only come to Mass because my kids have to go to CCD and Father Landry is a strict SOB and he makes sure that I come to Mass. If that's our attitude, coming to Mass, with regard to the greatest gift of all, our faith will wither and die. Wither and die. In response to the greatest love of all, if we respond with a cold heart, our heart is going to become thorough ice. The New English translation of the Mass, which we heard about before Mass, and those who weren't here before Mass will be here and after Mass today, and that we'll introduce in 2 weeks, is meant to help us to get more out of the Mass, to help us to pray it better, with greater solemnity. That's a start. But the real key for us is to see how much fruit the Mass bears in our life. When we come to Mass, does it truly change us, and how much does it change us? Do we try to keep that holy communion that we receive with the Lord alive until the next time we receive him with hunger? Do we let his words echo within our minds and our hearts and in our actions? The Mass has the incredible power thoroughly to transform us. And as St. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests, used to say, has the power to make us a great saint. But St. John Vianney would lament how few of his parishioners back in the mid-19th century in France would take advantage of the Mass. He said that so often they buried this treasure. They buried it in a corner of their life. They'd maybe take it out a little bit, maybe for an hour a week, but that wasn't why it was given. It was meant so that we could enter into a life-changing total communion with God. Others, he said, would only receive this greatest gift ever, one of the 7 days of their life. They were given 7 days, but they'd only receive one. He would tell his parishioners, you would become very holy if only you came to receive the Lord more often with greater love. This is the greatest talent of all. How do we respond? The Lord wants us to bear dividends from the Mass. For that to occur, we need to do a few things. Just like if you were given $500,000 and told to invest it to make a return, what would you do? Would you go play the lottery? I hope not. You'd probably need to study the investments that would be wise. Would you put it in international companies? Would you put it in Greece that's tanking right now? Would you put it, for example, in Apple or McDonald's, which stock seems constantly to soar? You have to study in order to be a good investor. In the same way, if we're really going to get what the Lord wants to give us out of Mass, we need to study the Mass. That's why these flyers that are down here are important. So many of those links that are put on our parish website under New English Translation are so important. That's why it's important for us to come to Mass early, not late, to be able to pray before Mass so that we open ourselves up to receive the full treasure. It's the first thing, to prepare well. Second is we really need to appreciate what we have and enter fully into it, to celebrate the Mass with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. You know, there's the prayer right before Holy Communion's received by those who are properly prepared, where the priest says, "Happy are those called to the supper." I'd ask you, if you were to come to Mass today and some anonymous billionaire were here and he gave you $2.5 million, would you be happy about it? Would you smile? Would you start to think about the possibilities? Would you feel like the luckiest person in the world? I think you would. I think all of us would. But what God gives us here at this Mass is so much more important even than $2.5 million. Are we happy to be here at this celebration? That's the second part. If we come like a bump on the log, don't know the prayers so that we mumble them through, don't sing out of love for the Lord, if we don't really enjoy the other's presence, get to know them and worship together with them as a family that seeks to grow in love, we're not really going to be investing this treasure. We're not going to be making it grow. They can help us to make it grow. Finally, we need to let the Mass transform us so that our entire life becomes a Mass, that we unite with Christ's suffering here to the Father. St. Gregory the Great, who is pictured right up there with St. Anthony and St. Therese with the triple tiara, the papal crown, he's also got a stained glass window up in our choir loft. St. Gregory the Great used to say that our life is supposed to become an altar. It's supposed to become a total Mass in which everything we do flows from here and is meant to be united to Christ's gift here. That's the way we begin to bear fruit, when we start to do this in memory of Christ, by going to others and saying, "This is my life. This is all that I am, given out of love for you," beginning with our family members, beginning with those on our street. That's the way we bear great fruit. You know, Jesus didn't even explain in the gospel today what would happen if the one who had received the 5 talents buried all 5 in the ground. What if we had 555 and we just said, "I'm not going to do much with it. Lord Jesus, you've given me the greatest gift of anybody on the planet, but I'm just going to do the minimum." At the end of our time here on earth, we're going to see the Lord Jesus face to face. And he's going to say one of 2 things to us, both of which are talked about in today's gospel. He will say either, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little things. Now I will entrust you with greater responsibilities. Come share your master's joy." He will say that if we recognize the talents he's placed into our hands and if we seek to make them grow, to have an adequate impact within us, or if we bury these talents, then he will say to us, doubtless with great pain and disappointment, "You wicked, lazy servant. Cast her out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What an incredible gift we have. Are we going to respond with joy or fear? Are we going to seize that opportunity? Or are we going to shudder underneath the responsibilities that come in the accountability that the Lord's asking? The Lord Jesus surrounds us with saints who have seized this chance, inspiring us to do the same. All of us want to hear that first expression, well done, good and faithful servant. All of us want the Lord to say, with regard to the little big thing of the Mass, you were great. Therefore, come to the fulfillment of the Mass. Come to the greatest responsibility of all, sharing in my joy and in my mission from heaven. May the Lord give us all the graces we need to become his good and faithful servants, preparing for this great talent, investing it in bearing fruit 30, 60, 100, 1,000-fold. Praise be Jesus Christ.